This is Express FM,
supported by the University of Portsmouth. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Match day 13 awaits Pompey in this topsy-turvy League One campaign, which last time out served up an entertaining stalemate at Home Park. The Blues came away from Devon with a point following a 2-2 draw with Plymouth Argyle on Monday night. But this weekend, they'll be hoping to secure all 3 points. Marcus Harness will be on the show to preview tomorrow's clash with Crewe Alexandra, as well as to talk about his maiden international call-up. Kenny Jackett will also be featuring before 7 o'clock, and the gaffer highlights the importance of having a fully focused squad ahead of a busy winter schedule. We've got a full preview of this weekend's League One action coming up within the next hour, and we want you back home to get involved with the conversation tonight. Should Lee Brad Brown be reintroduced to the starting 11 for tomorrow's visit of Crewe? Are you happy to see the FA bring the option for 5 teams to make subs during games until the end of the season? And what do you predict the outcome of the next match to be? Pompey fans, wherever you are in the world, whether you're in the comfort of your own homes here in Portsmouth or listening online from abroad, be sure to get in touch and check in with us this evening. It's Friday night, it's 6 o'clock, and you know what that means. This is Express FM, and you're listening to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Well, hello there, and welcome to tonight's show, brought to you by Stagecoach across the South. Head on over to stagecoach.co.uk for the latest information on timetables and COVID guidelines. And as always, do check before you travel. Coming up this evening, I'll be introducing two familiar faces to chat all things Pompey, including a quick recap of the last match and, of course, a look ahead to the next. As always, Pompey fans, this here is the platform for you to get your point across. You have between now and 7 o'clock to get in contact with us. Send in your questions, concerns, your praises, your preferred lineup for tomorrow's game and, of course, your score prediction too. The Blues take on Crewe Alexandra at Fratton Park in match day 13 of this League One season. Your options are as follows. You can text the word EXPRESS followed by your name and message to 81400. Email pompey at expressfm.com. Include at expressfm within your tweets, or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/pompeylive. Before we go any further, however, it's time now to go back in time and take a listen back to the events of Monday night's fixture across the country in Devon. Pompey travelled to Home Park, having won their last 6 away games in all competitions and also holding the league's best away record since the start of the campaign, unbeaten across their opening 5 matches on the road. The opposition, though, came in the form of newly promoted Plymouth Argyle, who too had started the season very well. The Pilgrims sat in 9th prior to kick-off and had yet to taste defeat on home soil since their return to the third tier. Your commentary team for this one, Andy Moon and Alan McLaughlin.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
There was a time in this fixture with two of the biggest clubs in League 2 squaring off. I think it'd be a stretch to put the Pilgrims as one of the two biggest sides in League 1. And it will be intriguing to see if there's any of the needle of the past there this evening. And it is Portsmouth who will get things underway in the silence that's become traditional and what we've become sadly used to at the start of the games. As Rasmus Nicolaisen sends a long crossfield ball and it's straight out of play. Plymouth have got a throw just inside their own half on the left-hand side. And Portsmouth retreating back inside their own half, and Watt brings it forward and tries to get a ball in behind the Portsmouth defence, and it's a good one. And Hardy goes round McGilvery. He's forced back to a tight angle, space in the middle, and McGilvery stucks one of those big feet out and manages to block the cross, and it goes out to the left wing where Harness makes a challenge, and Pompey bring it away, but they were cut open very easily at the back there. The ball's chipped down the touchline and that's off Pring's head, and this could be dangerous because Newble's in the area for Plymouth, and Newble shoots across the face of goal, it deflects and it's gone in. I think that's an own goal off Sean Raggett, but Pompey got themselves in a mess at the back. Cameron Pring beaten far too easily, and with 11 minutes on the clock, it's Plymouth 1, Portsmouth 0.
But it's another long ball that Nicol Ayton was at full strength to get a left boot to, and then he gives the ball straight to Kamara, and Kamara into the area. There's a great chance for Newble, still there for Newble, and what a save from McGilvery, and Plymouth should have made it 2.
Here we go, it's towards the back, Harrison the target, headed back in.
Oh, that hit at Plymouth hand, it has, penalty! Penalty to Portsmouth. I think it's Watmore who's won the header. There was a green arm in the air and the referee points to the spot immediately, and the Plymouth players all put their head in their hands, which is normally a pretty clear indication that it's the correct decision and Portsmouth have a great chance to equalise. Here we go. Pressure on Marquis, looking for 9 for the season. He'll step up, right-footed. Marquis scores, finds the bottom corner. Precise penalty. Cooper goes the right way, but he can't get a hand on it. And we've played 17 and a half minutes of the second half. It's Plymouth 1, Portsmouth 1.
Pring, 30 yards out, in from the left back to Cannon, middle of the Plymouth half. And a bit of momentum has disappeared from this Portsmouth attack as Pring will try and chip it down the touchline. And Cannon's got away from his man. Can he get the crossing from the dead ball line? He'll cut back onto his right foot. His cross deflects. The clearance is poor. It'll be hit by Naylor and into the back of the net. And Tom Naylor, for the second consecutive game, has scored for Portsmouth. That flew like an arrow into the bottom corner. Plymouth 1, Portsmouth 2.
Two men in the wall, Cannon and Harness. Everyone else back in the penalty area, defended. Ball comes in towards the far post. It's over McGilvery. He's headed back down. Is it into the net? It is.
And Plymouth have equalised. McGilvery couldn't reach the ball to the far post. It was headed back down into the six-yard box and then into the back of the net. And Plymouth have levelled this one up with 13 minutes to go. Plymouth 2, Portsmouth 2.
And I think when McGilvery sends it long, that'll be that. In fact, he doesn't even get the chance to send it long. Referee blows his whistle. It's finished here at Home Park. Plymouth 2, Portsmouth 2.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey live.
So it was a point apiece for both Pompey and Plymouth last time out. Both sides playing out a 2-2 draw at Home Park in front of the television cameras on Monday night. And here with me now to discuss the latest Pompey news and to go through tonight's topics, first and foremost, is Sam Stone. Sam, good evening to you, my friend, and welcome back to the show.
Good evening, Jake. Thanks for having me back on again. Always nice to chat Pompey with you on a Friday night.
Now, Sam, we won't go too much into the last game because we got through all of that on Tuesday evening, where we pretty much came to the conclusion that although it was a shame to see the Blues surrender a second-half lead, a draw was probably a fair result given how both sides played. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I thought it's just disappointing the manner of the goals we conceded, especially the second goal. It was very avoidable. Both players, the keeper's kind of just not commanding this box, and it's disappointing the manner of the goals we conceded. But again, if you said to me we were obviously 1-0 down at half time, they were on top of us at half time, and to come away and perform the way they did in the second half, get the two goals back, yeah, I think a point's a good result, especially at a hard place to go like Plymouth.
Yeah, let's see who will be linking up with you tonight then, shall we? I'd like to welcome now into the conversation Mr. Hugh Bunce. A very good evening to you, Hugh, and thanks for calling in tonight.
Hey, Jake, thanks for having me back on the show. A good way to kick off the weekend.
It's always a good way to kick off a weekend, Hugh. Sam's quite, you know, perfectly summed up there. A point away to Plymouth on Monday, quite a good one in hindsight. Whilst there was room for improvement in certain areas, you'd take a draw at Home Park this season when you take into consideration how solid Argyle have been on home turf.
Well, yeah, a draw seemed like a fair result, really, didn't it? And, you know, it was the league's best home side versus the league's best away side. So it sort of always had draw written on the cards. And I think when we came back and, you know, got into the game, got ahead and stuff, and it was unfortunate how we sort of conceded that goal. But at the end of the day, I don't think anyone can complain about getting a point at Plymouth.
No, and it was good to see the captain back on the score sheet, Sam. Tom Naylor with another goal to his tally for the season. Two games in a row where he scored now. And his influence for the Blues coming up into this kind of winter period where we've got so many games congested into Tuesday, Saturday. We can talk about how we're going to need the entire squad to step up at this time of the season, but you really need your captain to be leading by example. And Monday night was the perfect example of that, not just the goal, but his performance overall.
Yeah, his overall game on Monday night was excellent. You know, he's breaking up the play, interceptions, etc. But also, he's kind of made a kind of like, become a bit of a trademark, that kind of finish from the edge of the box. It was similar to what we said Ben Close was doing a few seasons ago when he's kind of arriving on the edge of the box. But Naylor's got a good strike on him, and it was an excellent finish on Tuesday night as well. So, yeah, it's good to see. And as you said, if a player you know you can rely on, especially in this kind of period when there's a lot of games and he's just going to be a constant in that midfield, and you need that, you need coherence, you need that continuity to maintain it through a very busy period coming up towards Christmas.
Yeah. Alan Swift on emails has got in touch again. Hi, Jake and co. I put that draw on Monday almost totally on Kenny's awful team tactics and players out of position. We were missing Jacobs and Curtis on the left-hand side. All you do is switch Williams to the left with Ellis Harrison alongside John Marquis up top. Why move Callan out of position? It's not rocket science for a complete tactician or an experienced manager. It's 2 points lost, make no mistake, and at this rate we will not make it to the automatics, says Alan in Southsea, who then adds, Crew have surprised one or two teams and we are at home, so do not be shocked or disappointed at a 1-1 draw. Thank you, Alan, for getting in touch. And talking about what Alan is highlighting there, Hugh, and a lot of supporters were aggrieved on Monday night as to Kenny's decision to change the team around. And Alan mentions there about the lack of a Michael Jacobs or a Ronan Curtis within the team. Jacobs, of course, injured still. Ronan Curtis on international duty. We spoke on Tuesday about how it was a difficult decision for Kenny to make to fill that void. But would you agree with what Alan's saying in his email to maybe switch Ryan Williams to the left-hand side and push Ellis Harrison up top?
No, I do agree with what Alan said completely. In fact, I said that to preview the game on our podcast. You've got options. If you didn't even want to play Williams, you could have pushed Haji Minoga onto the right and Williams on the left. But let's be honest, you know, Andy Cannon is not a left winger and he's not good wide. And we saw how good he was then being put back into the centre. But also, I think you can see tactically how he looked on the 4-4-2. Mm. Sam just touched on then, you know, Tom Naylor arriving late on the edge of the box. And that's the sort of thing that can happen when you're playing a 4-4-2. Your central midfielders push further forward and that enabled us to get a goal. So to be fair, it wasn't the best decision from Kenny, was it, to go with the 4-2-3-1. I think he recognises that. And he, you know, fair play to him. He changed it up at half-time, went 4-4-2 and we came away with the point.
Yeah, Hugh, Sam, do hold tight. We're going to take a few moments now to hear from Marcus Harness. Ollie Marsh has been speaking to the Pompey forward, who earned his first call-up to the Republic of Ireland national team earlier this week.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. It's been a great few days. We've got a good result against Plymouth away. Obviously, they're strong at home, they're in good form, and we probably should have won the game, but it's still a good point away from home. So and then to end up going over there and meeting all the staff and the players and being around the island setup's been amazing.
It was a bit of a surprising one when fans did see you there because it sort of wasn't officially announced. Just sort of clear up how that came about.
So I first got the call on what would have been Sunday night, I think. It was up in the air if I was going to be going before the game Monday or if I was going to be playing the game. So I ended up playing the game and then flying out to Ireland on Tuesday afternoon. So, but by that time, there'd already been other people called up and stuff, and I didn't get to train because I got there a bit late. So just outside the squad this time, but it was an amazing experience, obviously. Being around it and getting my foot in the door, hopefully I can, now that I've had a taste, I want to get back there and do it more often. So, yes, it's just amazing.
Yeah, because I think when you first signed for Pompey, you said that it was an ambition for you. Has it always been sort of a long-term goal to be involved in it?
Yeah, always. Since I was a kid, I've always wanted to play for Ireland. So it's just amazing, and hopefully one day soon. Obviously Ronan made his first start and done really well and could have scored and stuff, and it just shows you what's possible, and that's what I want to do with myself in the future, and hopefully I can do that.
Yeah, did it help having Ronan there, sort of somebody who's a bit of a familiar face?
Yeah, there's one or two of the lads there that I knew as well, so it was everyone was so nice and welcoming, and I already knew a few lads, so it was easy to kind of integrate and stuff. Obviously, I was only there for a day, but it was a great experience, and I just can't wait to work towards doing it more often.
Sort of similarly to Ronan as well, you don't sound Irish. Where is the kind of link there?
Yeah, my mum's from Cork. She came over here when she was 17, and so obviously all my family's still over there on that side of the family, so I've been over there back and forth throughout my life, and yeah, I'm really proud of my roots and where my family's from, and it's always been who I wanted to play for. Not that I always thought it would be possible, but it is, and it's amazing what happens when you do believe in yourself and stuff, and it's just great, and hopefully I can just keep pushing on, keep progressing my career, and hopefully do well here, and by doing well here I can hopefully get recognised on that level as well.
As you mentioned, it's been a bit of a whirlwind week for you with Plymouth and then over to Dublin and back again. Are you now sort of fully focused on crew at the weekend?
Yes, of course. We've got a busy schedule coming up, and I haven't played a game, so I'm not tired like Ronan might be, having to recover and stuff. I've had some travelling, but I'm physically ready to go again and ready to keep playing every game, hopefully, and keep helping the team to push on even higher than we are on the table now.
We've spoken to John Marquis about the sort of goal scoring form that he's in at the moment, but of course you're a massive part of that as well. How are you enjoying that partnership with him at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's starting to work out. It's been a long time coming to get both of us firing, so I think everyone's getting to know each other, and we're starting to really show what we can do as a team, and it's paying off. We're scoring goals and getting good results, so hopefully we can just keep that going.
And of course, three home games at Fratton Park to round off this month. How much are you looking forward to getting back to home comforts?
Yeah, I'm really, really relieved that we've got a run of home games coming up now, and even though we haven't been as good as we were last year at home, we've been stronger away this year, but hopefully we can get back to doing what we're good at, and making the results happen here as well. And just climbing the table again.
Marcus Harness, Pompey's own star man there, speaking about his call-up, Monday night's result, and looking ahead to the Blues' next match, which, of course, is at home to Crewe tomorrow afternoon. 81400 is my number to text if you've got anything you'd like to contribute to the conversation this evening. Remember to start those messages with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet us using @expressfm, or head over to facebook.com/pompeylive. When we return, we'll be hearing the pre-match thoughts of the manager, who is targeting an improvement of the Blues' form at Fratton Park.
We look forward now to, you know, a series of home games after a lot of travelling, and we have to really see if we can be at our best and capitalise on the home advantage and get our own home record back in order.
Kenny Jackett will be on the show before 7 o'clock this evening, and even more of the Pompey discussion and debate is coming right up next here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome to part two of this Friday Football Hour on Express FM, which is being driven to you tonight by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app now from your relevant app provider to plan your next journey, remembering that the application of a face covering is compulsory when using public transport. We're going to jump straight into the text, tweets and emails now. We've got one from Blake O'Neill, who's commented on Facebook. Good evening to you, Blake. He says, I think that five subs is best due to the fact that more and more players are getting injured so far, more than previous seasons. It could help us, and our squad depth is good, meaning that we could bring more class off the bench, and I reckon it should only be for this season due to the pile-up of fixtures that should hopefully be gone by the next. I reckon Pompey will win 2-1 tomorrow with all season ticket holders available to watch. Thank you to Blake O'Neill for getting in touch on Facebook, and as Blake's mentioned there, all season ticket holders will be able to watch tomorrow's game at home to Crew Alexandra live on iFollow Pompey. Free of charge, tomorrow's game is, of course. And Blake mentions there, five substitutes will now be allowed in games for the rest of the season across the Premier League, Championship, League One and League Two. In conjunction to this, League One and Two teams will still only be allowed to name seven subs on the bench, whereas Championship and Premier League teams will be able to name nine. Sam Stone, I'm going to get your thoughts on that one first of all. Five subs is back. You know, we saw it towards the end of last season when, you know, during the first lockdown, when the Premier League and the Championship continued, when Pompey played their playoff campaign against Oxford. Five substitutes. Do you think this is going to be a good or a bad thing? Not necessarily for Pompey, but for the sport as a whole.
Yeah, that's interesting you said that last bit, because in the sense for Pompey, I do think it could help massively, because the squad that Pompey have got compared to a lot of the teams in League One is very good, and a lot of the substitutes we've got would get in most League One teams. So in theory, it should be a good thing for Portsmouth going forward, because if you use five subs, I'm not saying Jackett's ever used more than two or three. He rarely ever uses two. Well, he rarely uses the three subs, but I couldn't really see him using five anyway. But for Pompey, if they used them five subs, it would in theory be quite a big like advantage. Yeah. Personally, for the whole game, I'm actually not for it at all. This is mainly because of in the Championship and Premier League, especially in the Premier League, it is just a massive advantage for the bigger clubs, for your Man Cities, your Liverpools, your Chelseas. They've got extensive resources to use, and their academies, their benches. Man City have got pretty much two squads that could finish in the top four. So I just think it's a huge disadvantage for those smaller clubs in the Premier League. Yeah. So that's why I wouldn't be for it in the higher divisions. And I don't necessarily think, you know, I can see with the fixture pile-up, etc. But I just think for the whole game, I just don't think it's a good thing necessarily.
Yeah. Do you know what, Sam? You mentioned there about Kenny's kind of reluctancy to make subs this season. I've done a bit of research this week in relation to the news of this. And actually, of the 12 games Pompey have played in the league so far this season, Kenny has used all three subs in nine of them, three quarters of the games. Only against Rochdale, Sunderland and Northampton did he make less, and he made two in all three of those games. So I know where you're coming from. You know, a lot of Pompey fans are perhaps aggrieved to the fact that Kenny doesn't like to use his subs early on in games, but he's actually turned a corner this season and is actually utilising those options. But kind of taking into consideration what Sam's just, you know, highlighted there, Hugh, five subs being allowed. We kind of mentioned how it's going to affect football as a whole, but how do you think this is going to impact Pompey?
Well, apart from what Sam's just said there, because he sort of touched that out on that at the beginning, I think some of the good things for this is that a lot more of the youngsters will be able to get into, you know, in the match day squad, but also have the potential to come onto the pitch, which I think is quite exciting for the squad-wise. For Pompey-wise, it's a bit difficult because I would be concerned. Imagine if you played the likes of, I don't know, Wickham have been promoted now, but one of those teams who likes to slow the play down quite a lot. There is potential for the people to, like, you know, bring more subs on just to try and slow the play down even further. And I don't have that much faith that the fourth official is actually going to keep track of all this time that's going to be lost during these potential substitutions. So there is that as well. But yeah, at the end of the day, player safety is, you know, the most important thing.
Yeah. If you'd like to get involved with the chat tonight, as we've heard from Blake and Alan already so far tonight, then please do. The three of us here invite you all to get in touch with us between now and 7 o'clock. All the usual ways to do so. It's 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. Alternatively, you can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or visit facebook.com/Pompey Live. Graham Wilkins has just done that on the emails. He says, "Hi, gents. Firstly, we need to cut out the silly free kicks that we give away and the ones we gave away against Plymouth on Monday, as that ultimately cost us 2 points. If we can do that, I expect it to be an interesting game against an informed Crew Alexandra, going for a 3-1 win tomorrow with goals from Marquis, Harness and Raggett in the opposing net this time. Congratulations to Harness on his call-up. On another note, firstly, it's good that we have a maximum of 5 subs per game, but what are your views on the possibility of losing half a playing squad if we don't get promotion because of the potential pay cuts required?" Says Graham Wilkins on the email. Sam Stone, your response to that question: what are your views on the possibility of Pompey losing half his playing squad if we do not get promotion?
I think it just puts even more pressure on getting promotion this year, doesn't it? Obviously, this whole the salary cap that's come in has been used to try and make it more clubs more get more longevity and they're not going out of business. And but personally, I do feel it's been seen as a massive opportunity for smaller clubs in League One and Two to kind of level the playing field. And it's quite clear that if we don't get promotion this season, there's going to be a whole new rethink. But I will say one thing, obviously, there were some big signings in the summer, especially, you know, the likes of Sammy Smodics being signed by Peterborough. Mm. He's going to be on a fair old wage coming from a championship club. So there are clearly ways around it. And again, I don't think it's over. I think there was a few issues with the PFA going to get involved. So I don't think we've heard the end of it as the kind of decision when it was made. Yeah. But yeah, again, it completely eliminates the whole decision if Portsmouth go and get promotion this year. It's not an issue then. But yeah, as you said.
We are currently awaiting the result as well, lads, of something arguably less important. The result of tonight's Papa John's Trophy round of 32 draw. We'll bring you the news of who the Blues have been drawn against as soon as we get it. I'm sure everyone's on the edge of their seats for that one. Going back to the interview we heard before the break then, Hugh, Marcus Harness, and what a player he's been this season for the Blues. He's won the League One Goal of the Month award for his audacious dink over Burton Albion goalkeeper Ben Garrett last month. He was also called up for the very first time to the Republic of Ireland squad earlier this week, though registered too late to feature in the Nations League draw at home to Bulgaria on Wednesday night. Just first of all, highlighting Marcus Harness and his importance to the squad. What a revelation he has been to the squad this season.
Yeah, he's been an absolute revelation. And it's great to see him playing down the middle, because that's where I've wanted to see him play for quite a long time, whether it's in a cam or a false nine or a number nine as such where he's playing. But he's been the player who's got the ball to feet. He just drops off a little bit, creates that space. His feet are so quick, he's able to maybe make defenders back off a little bit. And then he can set John Marquis up as well. And the two of them look like they've played up front together for years. So, you know, full credit to Marcus Harness. He's taken his game really to a whole nother level.
Marcus Deacons on Facebook says, but given that Kenny generally waits until the 80th minute to make changes anyway, and this five subs rule won't affect us. Ian Sands says, I don't have a problem with it, but it is another thing that must make life harder for smaller clubs with fewer good players. Thank you to those for getting in touch on Facebook. And back to Marcus Harness, Sam, and his call up, and it potentially raises an issue for Pompey that, you know, they could have in the future. Now, the next international break isn't until March, granted. But if both Curtis and Harness are called up to the Ireland squad together, that does leave us quite short on options going forward.
Well, yeah, I think it was an issue on Monday night with obviously Cannon playing out of position with no Curtis there. Because if he'd been able to play in position, then you would have had Harness could have played in that kind of 10 role and it would have worked better. So, but yeah, obviously it's not so much of an issue now because we've got an international break till March. So can't see it be too much of a problem. But when it does come round, they do. Hopefully, when Michael Jacobs is back fit as well, that's another option.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's good. You've got international players at your club playing at that level. Obviously, Curtis starting as well at the weekend, and he came on against England last week as well. So it's good things to the club. They've got international players. And I'm just going to go back as well, where you said with Harness this season, yeah, in that 10 row, I think it's his first touch. He's got his first touches of a. Definitely of a championship level. I may even go to say he could. That first touch is what you get from Premier League quality players. It sets him up. It gives him so much time and space, and that's what kind of stands him away for the rest.
Yeah, I'm gonna
pitch sometimes. Yeah. He just gives himself so much time and space.
Gonna break away for just a second. We've just heard news that the draw for the round of 32 of the EFL Trophy has been made, and Pompey, of course, will face an away tie due to finishing second in the Southern Section Group A. They've been drawn away to League Two Cheltenham Town. That game will be played on the week commencing December the 7th, so either Tuesday the 8th or Wednesday the 9th of December for Pompey to visit Cheltenham Town in the second round, the first knockout stage of this season's EFL Trophy. Okay, let's go back to what we were talking about then, Hugh, and Marcus Harness. We've just mentioned there the depth that we've got within this squad, or perhaps the lack thereof, if both him and Ronan Curtis are called up to the Ireland squad at the same time. We do have the depth within there somewhere, Hugh. Michael Jacobs and Ryan Williams can fit in, as well as, of course, Ellis Harrison, if by then Harness is still being utilised up top. However, we'll also be relying on those players not picking up injuries and suspensions.
Yeah, we just need someone else, don't we, to get called up as well now? So who's going to step up and get the third call up so we can get games cancelled?
That's exactly my next question.
Yeah, well, that would be ideal. But, you know, these things happen, and as Sam said, you want the best players possible. And it's playing for Ireland, something that Ronan Curtis has spoke about, and been the driving factor for him almost sort of staying at the club in the level of he wants to play regularly. You know, if you say he stepped up to a championship side in January, the likes of Blackburn, who are interested, for instance, he may not have been playing regularly in the side, which would have potentially dropped him out of the Ireland squad. Mm. So these are big things that really motivate players and push them on to the next level. So we should be really happy that these guys have got the international call-ups. Yes, it is going to affect us sometimes if they're both getting called up, both playing well, but if they're both getting called up for Ireland on a regular basis, that means that both of them are in real top form, and that can only be good for the club.
Yeah. Do you think it would benefit Pompey, Sam, if we did have that one more player receiver call up? Perhaps Craig McGilvery is perhaps be second or third choice keeper for Scotland. We know that once we've got three out on international duty, we've got the option to postpone the games in which they do interrupt. Do you think that could perhaps benefit Pompey, or are you of the opinion that in a congested season, we don't really want that pile-up of games towards that March-April time?
Well, obviously, McGilvery's the one where you'd say if them three were missing, it would probably be wise to postpone games, because you want to be going. If you can postpone it, I don't see why you wouldn't if you can't have your best team playing. We did have it a few seasons ago, though. We had a lot of games kind of called off, and especially at the start of the season, and it just built up towards the end. But if you can get on a good run at that time, you know, you want the games to be coming thick and fast, and that's when you can go on a good run. So it's kind of like it goes both ways. But personally for me, if you haven't got your three of your best players in the team, you should call the game off.
Yeah. OK, lads, we're going to hear now from the manager, Kenny Jackett. Ollie Marsh spoke to the gaffer at the training ground yesterday to look ahead to tomorrow afternoon's match against Crewe, but began by asking Kenny whether or not he felt frustrated having surrendered a lead at Plymouth on Monday night.
Plymouth is a hard place to come, and you're looking at their home record and the season that they had. But, you know, quite honestly, I do think we can play better than that. And you know, our players' attitude to get something out of the game, to get back into it, was very good. And the second half performance was better. But there were certain aspects I did think we were quite disjointed, and we can improve as well. And that's the sort of honesty that we need with ourselves, and you really try to set our standards very high, which have been, you know, up there in recent weeks. But, you know, we take the point, we move on for different reasons. You know, our side's been slightly disjointed, injuries, international call-ups, but we have to be good enough to come through that. It's the same for everybody else. And we look forward now to, you know, a series of home games after a lot of travelling, and we have to really see if we can be at our best and capitalise on the home advantage and get our own home record back in order.
Yeah, it must show how high the expectations are within the squad that you can get a result at somewhere like Plymouth and still find things in the performance to improve on.
Yeah, and obviously we were 2-1 up as well, and we did feel in a good position, and disappointed with a free kick, you know, for a number of reasons. But, you know, I can't say as an overall that Plymouth didn't deserve anything from the game either. And as I say, you know, we take the point, and we're honest with ourselves about, you know, where we are. And as ever then, look forward very quickly to Crewe.
Yeah, and looking at Crewe, they've picked up two good results on the spin, so there'll be no pushovers.
No, beating Peterborough and then beating Oxford in recent games. And, you know, do look a good side. And you know, we'll respect them, do the work, the, you know, fantastic job that David Artell has done. But after that, we want to be at our best on Saturday, playing to our strengths, if possible. And while we, you know, do and will have a good look at an analysis at our opposition, you know, making sure we're coordinated, cohesive, and at our best with full energy is where we need to, you know, build up the training ground on Thursday and Friday of this week.
You'll be able to make 5 substitutions instead of 3 if you want to. How will that affect things?
It will affect it a lot. And if you're looking at last week's cup game, where we went from 3 to 4 at Ipswich, you know, the fourth one absolutely helped us get over the line in that cup game. You know, it can be the difference between winning 3-2 on that day or losing 3-2. And you know, if you can now go from 3 to 5, and, you know, particularly in that second period, it can make a big difference. My thoughts on the Plymouth game was, you know, we made 2 pretty early on, and we needed to change the flow of the game, otherwise we'd have got nothing out of it. But then, you know, to have more within that last 20 minutes is a big thing, and using your squad, making the right decisions can be vital.
one of those changes at Plymouth was Jack Watmore coming on for the second half. Do you now have a decision to make in terms of who your starting centre-back pairing is going to be on Saturday?
Yeah, and we'll see. I'm comfortable with all of them. You know, I do think it's a position where we're well off. And if everybody's fit, there's good competition, and there will be on Saturday. And after that, you know, we'll need everybody. We'll need everyone to be firing and right and ready to play, because, you know, the games will come thick and fast.
Just an update on the injured players. How are things progressing with the lads who have missed out in recent weeks?
Yeah, Lee Brown will be available this weekend. Although, you know, I've been pleased with Cameron Pring's performance since Lee's been out, but, you know, he's been a good player for us and a big character as well, and a good organiser at the back. So, you know, we are pleased that you know, he's back and around and available. Ronan Curtis obviously played last night for the Republic of Ireland, and congratulations, you know, to him. He played 85 minutes. He came back on an early flight this morning and is a bit tired, but he's fully fit and okay for Saturday as well. So, you know, from our point of view, it'll be that group that will go again on Saturday.
Kenny Jacket there, looking ahead to tomorrow's League One visit of Crewe. Still to come tonight, myself, Sam and Hugh will be previewing that game in further detail. We'll also be hearing from Mason Jordan, who provides a more in-depth look at this week's opponents, and we'll be continuing to go through the text, tweets and emails from you back home. There's still plenty of time to get your thoughts across tonight if you haven't done so already, though we're now asking for your score predictions. You've got a number of ways in which you could contact us. Either text your name and message to 81400, starting with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, visit facebook.com/PompeyLive, or find us on Twitter and include at ExpressFM within your tweets. So don't move an inch and keep it locked to ExpressFM now, because we'll be back in just a few moments with the conclusion of tonight's show. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome to the third and final part of this Express FM Football Hour, driven to you in association with Stagecoach Across the South. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then why not hop on a Stagecoach bus? They'll get you from A to B in no time and without you having to break the bank either. Head on over to stagecoach.co.uk for more information on fares, timetables and the latest COVID-related guidelines. Tonight, I'm joined alongside Sam Stone and Hugh Bunce to go through the latest Pompey discussion and to preview the Blues' next fixture. Crewe Alexandra make the trip down to the South Coast this weekend. And this now is your final chance back home to get in touch with the show before we head off around 7 o'clock. We're now asking for your score predictions ahead of tomorrow afternoon's League One clash with the Railwaymen. To get in touch, simply text the word Express, followed by your name and message, to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Before we go any further with the preview of that game, however, we're going to hand you over to Mason Jordan, who provides us with an in-depth analysis on this week's opponents, Crewe Alexandra.
Fratton Park is back to hosting league football, although the Blues probably would have preferred another away trip. Pompey have only won twice on home soil this season, having lost three of their opening six league matches at PO4. They are looking to re-establish home dominance this weekend, though, when they take on Crewe Alexandra.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Monday night's 2-2 draw with Plymouth was the Blues' last outing, where both John Marquis and Tom Naylor were on the score sheet. Newly promoted Crewe posed as the next challenge for Kenny Jackett's men, who could move up to second with a victory and results going in their favour elsewhere. Let's look now at what to expect from this week's opponents from Cheshire.
Manager.
39-year-old Gibraltarian David Artell, who celebrates his 40th birthday this weekend, is the man in charge of the Alex. The Rotherham born and bred gaffer embarked upon his maiden managerial position when he accepted Crewe's offer back in 2017, although he'd worked for Gresty Road since 2014, having been appointed Academy Operations Manager that July. Artell made 72 appearances for the Alex between 2010 and 2012 before moving to Port Vale for geographical reasons. Artell spent the vast majority of his footballing career in the North West, featuring in defence for the likes of Rotherham United, Shrewsbury Town, Chester, Morecambe, Wrexham and of course Crewe. In January 2017, Artell replaced Steve Davis as the manager of the Railway Men, with the club flirting dangerously with the relegation down to non-league. His spell did not start in the best of manners, and following a 4-0 defeat away to Hartlepool United towards the end of February, the gaffer gave a strong team talk in the dressing room after the final whistle, warning his players of the huge consequences they would have to face if the results continued. It must have worked, as the Alex won four out of the next five matches, eventually finishing 17th. To date, Artel has a win percentage of 40.1% as crew boss, winning 75 of his 187 competitive matches in charge and achieving automatic promotion from League 2 last campaign after the implementation of the unweighted points per game system.
One to watch.
Advanced midfielder Charlie Kirk, who scored in last week's 2-0 win over Peterborough, is our one to watch this time out. The 22-year-old is a prime example of how well the club's academy is run. Crew pride themselves on creating a first team around homegrown talent, and Kirk is no exception to that. Born just 11 miles away in Winsford, the winger has been an ever-present member of the Crew family, promoted into the first team in 2016. Since then, he has scored 25 competitive goals and has recently celebrated surpassing 150 appearances for the club.
Top scorer.
This accolade currently belongs to French striker Michael Mandron, who has four goals to his name so far in League One. The 26-year-old has also netted in the Railway Men's 3-2 victory over Bolton Wanderers in the FA Cup a fortnight ago, therefore has five in total across all competitions this season. Mandron, who has come through the youth ranks at Sunderland, has since played for the likes of Fleetwood Town, Eastleigh and Colchester United. He was on the score sheet in Tuesday night's rearranged fixture against Oxford United. He joined Crew on a 12-month contract back in August, having left Gillingham earlier in the summer.
Current form.
The Alex have popped up with a couple of surprising results of late. David Artell's side have now won two on the bounce following league victories over Peterborough and Oxford in the past week, both ending by a scoreline of 2-0. Prior to that, the newly promoted side have lost three on the spin. However, their recent surge has propelled them to 12th in the table. Overall, Crew have played 12 league matches, winning five, drawing just the once and having lost six, during which they've scored 12 goals and conceded nine. Can Kenny Jackett turn around the home fortunes and begin to make a Fratton fortress again? Find out. All the unmissable action is on Pompey Live.
All you need to know there about David Artell's Crew side, who gained promotion to League One in the summer following the implementation of the unweighted points per game system. Going to bring back Sam Stone and Hugh Bunce back into the conversation now. Crew, Alexandra then next up for Pompey at home tomorrow afternoon. And Sam, first of all, just want to talk about John Marquis. He'll be looking to add to his goal tally this weekend. He recently won the Bristol Street Motors Award for Player of the Month for the month of October, and he's already matched his League One goal tally of last season. He's now the leading scorer in the division with 8 goals and is in double figures in all competitions. So really an integral cog to this team, as we all know, but a fully fit and a firing John Marquis is what is going to surge Pompey to promotion this season.
Yeah, I fully agree with that, Jake. Obviously, last season he did actually score quite a few goals, maybe not in the league, a few cup goals, but it definitely wasn't the John Marquis that we thought we were getting from Doncaster, the one who'd been prolific for the last 3-4 seasons. But this year, we are really seeing a kind of different player and one that's been a lot more clinical. And I think it was shown even in that penalty on Monday night. It was just unsavable, even though the keeper went there, and you could see that's a player in top kind of confidence, and that's what you want to see. Obviously, regarding this game on Saturday, Pompey have struggled at home this season, and for me, it's been that kind of failure just to kind of create that chance in the first half to go 1-0 up. The first goal is kind of important, especially at home, because you can just dominate the game then. So we need to get the ball into his feet, give him that chance, that half chance. And at the moment, pretty much everything he's kind of, any shot he's taking is going in. So yeah, this is definitely the John Marquis we all expect to see.
Yeah. Going up against this Crew side then, Hugh, we know that they are actually a decent team. They sit 12th in the table. Of course, they've just been promoted from League Two, but actually possibly one of the underdogs of this season. You know, you cannot quite often write off a team, and you know, with no disrespect to them, but they've not got the biggest of fan bases, they've not got the biggest of, you know, financial backing behind them, but they do play some decent football, and they are led by a manager who has kind of a no-loss mentality, and their academy is one of the best in the country, believe it or not. So we're going to expect a tough game against a side whose team is basically evolved around their academy products. They're not known for splashing the cash and bringing in the big names. They are known for bringing up youngsters around the area and moulding them into Football League players. And to be honest, that's something you've got to admire.
massively. And talking about bringing up youngsters, they have got some absolutely cracking players playing for them. The likes of Harry Pickering, their left back, who could also play left mid, and he takes all the direct free kicks. He's only 21 years old. He's played 150 games, 3 goals this season already in League One. He's absolutely outstanding, and he plays behind Charlie Kirk, who Mason already mentioned. So there's a really dynamic left-hand side there. And they've also got Perry Ng. He plays on the right back, again, gets forward very well. It does make me think about who we play at left back. He's going to have to be a little bit more defensively minded as well to make sure that we keep their wing backs, you know, in place. But they play a lot of possession football, Jake. They knock the ball around beautifully. They stick to their system, and they'll be a really tough test for us.
Yeah, how do Pompey combat this game then, Sam? We look at the Blues' home record this season, then played 6. We've only won twice. We've drawn once and we've been defeated 3 times. That's half the games we've played. We know that the home form hasn't been great. We've already discussed the reasons why that may be. But we're now coming against a side, like we say, promoted from League 2, potentially one of the underdogs of the campaign. This has got banana skin written all over it. And when you look back at the last times that Pompey have played Crewe, you look back at that infamous game at Fratton Park in 2017, the 1-0 defeat, which then led on to the Blues winning the League 2 title. But we know that they can cause an upset in this division, and they are the kind of team you can't really bet on them, can they? They can beat a good team. We've seen they defeat Peterborough last weekend. They beat Oxford on Tuesday night, albeit they've had a slow start to the season. But then they'll go to lose against kind of one of the lower sides in the division, perhaps like a Wigan or a Rochdale. So this is going to be a tough test for Pompey, who will need to be fully focused and concentrated throughout the entire match.
Yeah, and when you look back at our previous home games, obviously the Charlton game and Doncaster game, I'll talk about the Charlton game. They kind of did a job on us. They sat back, absorbed a lot of pressure. We had a lot of the ball. We didn't take our chances in the first half when we had them. And similar to the Doncaster game, that game just kind of ebbed and flowed up until they got their first goal. I feel that it all kind of depend on the way that Crewe set up. If they set up similar to Charlton did and kind of absorb a lot of pressure and try and get us on the counter-attack, it will be hard for Pompey because we have been found out in trying to break teams down. But if they kind of... they're known for playing good football. It's what they've taught their age groups all the way up through their academy. If they come out and express themselves and play this expansive football that we know they do, maybe more at home, then Pompey are going to have opportunities to break and counter-attack with all the pace they've got going forward. So I do think a lot of it does depend on how Crewe set up.
Yeah. You mentioned as well about Charlie Kirk and Harry Pickering, Hugh, in your previous kind of chat about Crewe. But Mikael Mandron as well, a player to look out for tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, he's really good up front as well. And he's not only amongst the goals, you say, a top scorer there, but he also brings a lot of players into play. He plays in that central role in the 4-3-3. And what he does is he can collect the ball and he'll look around him for the players like Charlie Kirk to make little through runs off him, basically. So he's quite a dynamic striker up top as well. So I'm just touching on what Sam said there a little bit on how Crewe will play. I've got no doubt they'll try and play expansive football. They talk about playing the right way, playing the Crewe way. And I expect them to play the only way they like to play, which is playing the ball out from the back, trying to get possession forward, being patient on the ball and waiting for the right pass and able to get in behind the Pompey defence.
Yeah, certainly going to be an interesting game tomorrow, as you guys have just mentioned there. Crewe, Alexandra await Fratton Park. Can Pompey turn around their home fortunes this season? We are, of course, hoping they can do that. And I'm going to try and get to some of the text tweets and emails now, if we've got some coming in. Carol in Hailing Ireland says that the television cameras have been a bogeyman for Pompey this season, so no wonder they were caught napping on Monday night, says Carol on Twitter. And that's about it for now. But again, continuing to look forward to tomorrow's game then, Sam. Pompey, in terms of their options in the team lineup, we expect and we hope that Kenny Jackett will revert back to that 4-4-2 formation as fans have been crying out all week. John Marquis starting up alongside Marcus Harness again is what is expected, what is hoped. But in terms of the left-back option, would it be fair to say that with Lee Brown fit and ready and in contention to start tomorrow afternoon, would it be fair to say that he is likely or expected to replace Cam Pring in that position?
I'd probably expect Lee Brown to start tomorrow. This isn't anything against Cam Pring, and I personally thought he played quite well against Plymouth, and he obviously made that amazing block on the line, which pretty much saved us getting a point there. But I can see Lee Brown just coming back in just because of Jackett preferring that kind of experience. You can see Cam Pring is quite raw when he in what he does. I think he's got a lot of potential, but at the moment, I think Jackett will just refer back to type and bring Lee Brown back in.
Yeah, and just very quickly before we do head off then, Hugh, Pompey at home tomorrow afternoon, what do the Blues need to do to ensure they don't drop more points from a winning position and actually secure a victory on home turf?
4-4-2, Andy Cannon needs to get on the ball and press their centre midfielder, Ryan Windle, who likes to make tick the ball going. And we just need to go from the start, Jake, and literally stop Crewe playing their game. Don't sit back and allow us to apply pressure. And I think we'll be all right.
Yeah. Okay, cheers, lads. Just want to mention as well, Havant and Waterlooville, they're also back in action this weekend. They'll be taking on Welling United in match day 6 of their National League South campaign. This one is away from home, and the Hawks will be going into the match off the back of last week's comeback victory at home to Oxford City. And knowing that a win will go a long way in putting the pressure on the teams just above them in the playoffs, who've all played a handful of extra matches. So that's Welling United versus Havant and Waterlooville tomorrow afternoon, and kickoff is 3 p.m. at Parkview Road. Okay, let's head over and find out what you are saying back home ahead of Pompey's match against Crewe this weekend. Here are some score predictions coming in to us. Paul O'Neill says 2-0 to the Blues. Roger Bartlett says 1-1. I have a feeling, but Jackett will revert to his normal rearguard formation. Ian Jones is going for a 3-1 Pompey win, as is Gary Cornwell. Alan Snelling says 4-0. Anthony Lee says 3-0 Pompey. Bob Hobbs is going for 6-0. Chris Whitewick says 3-1 Pompey. Eddie Stead is going for a 3-0 victory. And Bradley Williams says, I hate to say it, but we win more at away games, so you can see us losing tomorrow at home to Crewe. That's it, Bradley. We're not going to lose. Come on. Be more confident, Matt. We're going to win. We're going to beat them. Sam Stone, your score prediction, please.
I'm going to go 2-0 Pompey.
So Sam's going for 2-0. How about you, Mr. Hugh Bunce?
I've got a feeling it's actually going to be a draw. I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2. Okay, lads, thank you very much for your time this evening. Some interesting debate, some great conversation, and some interesting score predictions there as well. It's been a pleasure, as always, lads. As for my prediction, I think I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win. As we've already mentioned, Crewe are going to be a very tough side. They're likely to score in the match, but I do think that the Blues will get a long-awaited home victory tomorrow afternoon. And don't forget that all of the unmissable action of the Blues' next fixture can be heard right here on 93.7 Express FM.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey and Plymouth shared a point on Monday night.
It's over McGilvery, headed back down. Is it into the net? It is. And Plymouth have levelled this one up with 13 minutes to go.
Up next for the Blues is a League One home tie against newly promoted Crewe Alexandra. Join us for the unmissable action from 2 tomorrow.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Liam Howes and Ryan Steerwell will be live from Fratton Park with that one, with myself picking the short straw for this weekend's match to watch on back from the comfort of our studios here at Express HQ. Coming your way tonight then, Portsmouth, Connor Mosley is back playing the biggest and best tunes to get you ready for the weekend. He'll be live with Express Floor Fitters after the news at 7, and then from 11 o'clock through till 2 a.m, 3 hours of non-stop party hits. Ian McGuinness wakes you up with Saturday Breakfast. Join Ian from 8 o'clock tomorrow morning for the latest news, sport, travel and weather updates, as well as the random top 5, a movies chat with John Brown and some cheeky 80s music as well. He'll be live until 11 a.m. when Lily Park takes over with more great songs, the Tiny Quiz and some weekend bangers too. From 6 p.m, Mason Jordan presents the local music show. He'll be here until 7 with the latest hits from our local artists. But before that, it's the return of Pompey Live. The Blues take on Crewe Alexandra at Fratton Park, looking for a victory to re-establish some home form and continue the surge up the table. A victory for Pompey this weekend could propel them into the top two, providing results, of course, go their way elsewhere. Tune in from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon to find out if Kenny Jackett can steer his side to a 7th league win of this new season. However, until then, Pompey fans, have a great evening. Enjoy what's to come here on Express FM. Of course, as always, stay safe, play up Pompey, and good night.